from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And we're going to have fun today. We're going all the way down to Brisbane, Australia. Did I say that okay, Linda?
That's fine. Thank you so much.
We are meeting with Dr. Linda Kramer. Thank you for coming to us. We figured out how to do the whole time change thing. What we haven't figured out yet is it's spring, almost summer where I am, which means it's fall, almost winter where you are.
That's right. We're getting the chilly mornings here now, I tell you. It's frosts and fog here at the moment. So, you know, to have your perspective on the other side of the planet, that's amazing. And I just can't tell you enough how much I am so honored to be here today, Eric. It is amazing to talk with you. So thank you so much for considering me as one of your guests today.
Wow, you are way too sweet and way too nice. Thank you. Do you want me to call you Linda or Dr. Linda?
You can just call me Linda. I don't actually care for titles. You know, okay. Anything goes with me. You. Hey, you.
You can just call me Your Highness while you're at it.
Good on you.
As you know, we start the show with, we want to get to know you for just a minute. Tell us a little bit about Linda, and then we're going to jump right into your NDE because we need all the time we can because it is spectacular. Go ahead.
So I was born in the mid-60s, and my dad was in the RAAF, which is the Air Force. So my upbringing with my two sisters, my mum and my dad, we traveled around a lot. So I ended up going to 9 different schools. Even with that change of environment every year or two growing up, I always knew that I was something different. I just did not fit in. I always have been a psychic since birth, just knowing things that other people wouldn't know, just blurring it out as a child does, got me into a lot of trouble with family, friends, schools. So I was often called the freak. I got abused a lot, sworn at a lot. I just didn't fit in. So it was probably a good thing that we did move around a lot because it was a new clientele of people learning who Linda was. I ended up in a relationship, my first marriage, because I've been with 3 different partners. He used to call me the witch. And I just thought, ha ha, yeah, yeah, you know, party trick time at, you know, going to parties, telling people their fortune, that sort of thing. But I never really got into what was spiritualism or being a psychic. I just, you know, I was a manager for Australia Post, our postal service. I had other jobs growing up that I did. So I was more concerned with this environment, the governance. I was more concerned with having the conditioned lifestyle that we have in society of getting married, having a job, getting a house, having children, pets, and doing things in the community. So that marriage broke up and I ended up going over to America, to North Carolina, where I met I already did know him because he worked where I used to work. We got married in August 2020 and it wasn't the best relationship. He had a lot of personal issues himself. I came into that relationship hoping to assimilate into the US. I honestly loved America. I wanted to live there. I wanted to be a permanent resident or a citizen. I was applying for jobs left, right, and center, but obviously without a green card, I couldn't work over there. So we had a lot of issues. He did not want to do my immigration paperwork, which was a major red flag for me. So there was a lot of, I would call, domestic abuse there, which escalated in May 2021. I prefer not to talk about what he did to me, where I prefer to talk about what happened as a consequence of what he did to me. So on the night of May 6, I was really not well. It was like an asthma attack, flu type thing that I had. And I woke up at about 2 a.m. and I couldn't breathe. Honest, I was busting to go to the toilet, literally dying to go to the toilet, which is ironic because what happened? I laugh about it.
That's like people dying to get on this show. Okay, keep going.
You're going to laugh with it because I do laugh at it because even though it was such a traumatic event, it turned out to be the best event of my ever life. Whoever knew dying was going to be the best thing that ever happened to me, right? So I went to the toilet and I'm sitting on the toilet. And the scariest part in hindsight was the fact that I just went to sleep. It was just like any other normal event, drifting and falling asleep. So the next thing I know is that I'm floating in the living room up near the ceiling in the corner. There's a little bit of a backstory here between me dying and being instantly in the living room. I like putting this part in because my ex-husband, he said that he woke up because he heard someone banging on the wall and he came in and found me already blue and he went and called an ambulance. I know for a fact I never banged on the wall because I had absolutely no energy at all because it took me 10 minutes to walk 10 feet to the bathroom. So I'm now floating in the living room and I watched Hig walk through the living room and it was two paramedics standing at the door. He's rushed them back through into the bedroom, which the bathroom was off the bedroom. So that's where my body was, out the back in the back bedroom and the back bathroom. I'm in the living room and I saw the sheriff come in. He had a button that was missing on his shirt. He had a little pudgy belly that was sticking out through his shirt and he also was limping. He had a limp on his left foot. I saw his coffee mug that he used. He had a notepad that he was writing things in and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see what he's writing there. I heard the whole conversations with the fire department even turned up. Some other people turned up with other uniforms on that I never knew because I'm from Australia and I don't know the uniforms. And then two more paramedics turned up, which in my medical files turned out to be my advanced life support crew. So the advanced crew turned up and they came through with a defibrillator, all this other equipment that I just watched going through. So people like asking me, how did I feel when I saw all this commotion going on in my house? And I'm honest, it didn't matter to me. I didn't care about it. I wasn't concerned. I wasn't scared. I was just allowing it all to unfold in front of me like I was watching a movie because it was pretty obvious that Linda, the body in the bathroom, was not me anymore. So when they finally wheeled her out, it wasn't me. I was watching her like a movie with no connection to that body at all. They wheeled out my body and I watched as my ex-husband now, because I broke up with him after this event and I came back to Australia, he locked the door and he left. He turned off the lights, but there I am still floating near the ceiling with not a concern in the world. I didn't even worry about how did I get up here? Why don't I fall down? There was no gravity. But then the front door opened. One of the weird things that happened before I even went to heaven. And all these orbs, blue, dark blue, like royal blue orbs came into the room. There would have been 12 or 15 of these orbs floating around me. And inside them was pure white energy. And then they went to blue and then they had like sparkle effects coming out of them, which was energy. And they're floating around me. Some stopped in front of me, but they had no eyes. So I don't know if they were observing me or interacting with me at all because I had no interaction with these. There was no communication at all. So they're like floating around me and they didn't hit each other. So they could obviously interact with each other and communicate together. But then they all just went out the front door and it was like they stopped And all of them instantly went out the door.
I want a little more description before you move on. These orbs, so they were actually round like a ball?
That's right. Yes.
Because I've had some people describe to me blue figures that they didn't know quite, are these angels or these ancestries? What are these? But yours are round. That's interesting.
Can we go into a sidestep? I now see spirit guides. One time when I was interviewing with this man, he was at my house. He had a pterodactyl that flew in, 80-foot pterodactyl in my backyard. I saw it. I actually went over to, he was like, "What are you doing, woman?" I was under this pterodactyl feeling its wings, and it was like the, it was like a bat wing, very similar to a bat. When he left, this pterodactyl shot off across the sky and it turned into a blue streak, the same blue color that I saw in my orbs, which I'm also going to presume here that you just mentioned when people see these blue beings as well. So this blue energy of like what I see as spirit guides and what other people see, and also what I saw as these orbs in my own house, because I do have pictures. There's a map of where I was in the house. So that's where I was floating, and this is where my body was around in the back bedroom.
So by the way, for those that are listening to the audio-only version of the podcast, can you explain about how far that away?
Yep. So when you come through the bedroom, living room, yep, you come through the living room, there's the front door. You walk through the living room, which was probably 15 feet, and then you have to go into the master bedroom, walk down to the back wall, walk past a walk-along closet, and then you walk up into a bathroom behind the walk-in closet. So all up, it would have been about 50 feet to where I was, where my body was to where I was floating. But then when I saw these blue orbs, here's a picture that I drew in hospital of what they look like, which is, these are all in my book. If you do want a PDF of my book, please email me, because I like giving out my books for free to people as well as people who buy them.
We'll stick that in the show notes. I guess I assumed that the orbs would be very smooth on the outside. But what you're showing has a little like feelers or something coming out.
Do you know what party sparklers are? Those long...
Sure.
And you light the end and they all go sparkle, sparkle?
Yeah.
And we call them here in Australia, we call them sparklers. And you wave them around and they make zigzags in the air and stuff. So that sparkle effect is what these had coming out of them.
Sounds beautiful.
Well, wait until we get to heaven, because I saw it again there as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm holding you back from the heaven part.
Yeah.
By the way, we could title this episode 5 Years in Heaven.
Thank you, because that's actually what my book's called.
Okay. All right. One other quick thing before I let you move on, and that is that I find it interesting that your spirit didn't follow the ambulance. A lot of people go with the ambulance and they're sort of watching their body the whole time. And you stayed behind, and then you took off and ended up where?
I found myself, which I joke about, in the field of flowers. I've said it many times, it's almost like there's an X on the ground, and it's like the landing port where people find themselves standing in that field of flowers in heaven. So I'm looking around, and down below me there's flowers growing. And as I walked, even though I was energy with no body, these flowers moved because they knew my thoughts. So the flowers moved knowing that I thought I would squash them as I walked.
So they moved out of the way?
Yeah, the flowers physically moved. So yeah, the flowers physically moved to avoid my feet coming down on top of them. That was a very pivotal moment right there before we go into 5 years of being in heaven, because I learnt straight away there about perspective and how our thoughts all do integrate into one consciousness. And it also showed me that energy waves, like frequencies and currencies, do be affected by other things around them. So these flowers moved as I tried to walk. But then I realized I don't squash the flowers because I now was also receiving the information from the flowers where they knew that I was ignorant at this point because I hadn't learned that I would not squash them because I was energy. So we had a two-way telepathic communication going, and it was a knowing of what each of us were both thinking. But it wasn't just one flower, it was 50,000 flowers in this field. So the rolling flea fields went up into, far in the distance was mountain ranges. Over to my left, way, way over, was a big city with huge skyscrapers. I could see behind me without turning my head. So I had this all 360 degree peripheral where I did not have to turn my head to know everything that was going on around me. I stayed in this place for probably 18 months of my 5 years in heaven. I walked down cobbled roads into little villages, which makes me wonder, why do we have houses when we don't have to cook or sleep or use a bathroom? I walked into the cities and I was walking up the stairs of the cities, but there was no elevators or other technology there. And then I realized I didn't even need to use the stairs like the mountains. If I wanted to climb to the top of a mountain, or if I wanted to go to the top floor of one of these buildings, all I had to do was think it and I was there. I live by little catchphrases now, Eric. One of my catchphrases is, we think, we create. And now in my existence of thinking and creation, look how much now other people are saying the same sort of things where we create our own reality. The more we think about being sick, the more sicker we get. The more we think about manifestation, the more we do manifest things. So in this existence of seeing thousands and thousands of people, I realized perspective as well, whereby I can become the other objects or beings around me, and I could see everything that they had gone through as well. In my book, 5 Years in Heaven, I do talk about the ducks. I was sitting there on a chair because there was heaps of chairs in heaven. One of my videos on my YouTube channel, it actually says, why are there chairs in heaven? It's because we do pause and we contemplate and we get that perspective of what other things have been. I'm sitting on this chair and I'm watching this group of ducks, and I became one of the ducks. I felt the feathers. I felt the webbed feet. I've had a beak that went quack when I made a noise. And then I learnt, or I should say knew, everything this duck had ever been through with all its lives and other beings that it had ever been. When I say it like that, we're not always one person. So when we reincarnate, we can, next time we can become a bear. The life after that, we may be Anne Boleyn, married to Henry VIII in the UK. The life after that, we might be Buzz Aldrin going to the moon. The life after that, we could be a cat growing up in India. There's no time, there's no space in this existence. Everything was concurrent and here, present. So when I talk about the mountains being miles and miles and miles away, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, all I had to do was think of being there, and instantly I was at the bottom of the mountain range. If I thought of being on the top of the mountain, instantly I was on top of the mountains. As soon as I thought about people there, I became them, and I saw and knew everything they had been through, through that oneness of heaven. Everything is like a cell. Everything is like a drop of water in the ocean where it all becomes one. I'm in this place interacting with thousands of people, I saw a medieval woman instantly turn into a 1970s hippie. I saw little boys playing on the fields and instantly one turned into a bear, because we can change who and what we are through that mentality of what we think we create. So we change our lives in heaven. I know being Linda, that's just not the end of being Linda. I could go back to having the perfect skin I had as a baby. I could have the long blonde hair I had when I was 25. I could have the waistline that I had when I was 17, but I could still have the nails and the knowledge that I had when I was 55. So even though when we say, oh yeah, she's back to Linda, we can still pick and choose bits of Linda that we create to be. And then we can become the duck. We can become the medieval woman. We could become the buildings, the mountains, everything there. And one thing I haven't mentioned is the music. It was constant, overlaying itself with no speakers. So there's no source of this noise, but it was from everything. I finally worked it out. It was the sound of energy. That relaying tribal chant like noise, of vibrational energy. Just a couple of months ago, funny thing, I found this report where a man said we can hear energy. So that verified what happened to me 24 years ago. Wow, I love it when I get my confirmations. So I'm standing in this space and I get a tap on my shoulder. I'm now finding myself at the front of this huge church cathedral type building. And as I walk in, we're talking a corridor probably a mile long, but the walls were made of pieces of wood that would have been a mile long. The planks were not just like our 2x4s that we have here on this planet. The planks of woods would have been 6 foot wide. 20-foot wide pieces of wood. The sandstone were blocks that were half a mile wide. It was enormous, this space. And as I'm walking down through the long pews of chairs made from one piece of wood, right down at the front of the church, there were three beings down there. And I used them three beings as my book cover on my book, 5 Years in Heaven. So there's three beings, which probably it'd be better if I show you this picture. So if anyone does want to see my pictures, I do have them on my YouTube channel where I talk about it, what I see. These beings were energy. The energy went from the ground upwards like a reverse waterfall, and it all circulated going left and right at the same time, clockwise and anti-clockwise. And it made like a vortex of energy where the head would have been. And in front of these three beings was this box, again, with this illumination of energy coming out of it. So I'm standing there thinking, oh my gosh, who are these people? But there was no fear. There was no concern. It was all peaceful. I heard inside my head the words, we are not here to judge. And I knew, like a psychic knows things, that this was from them. I don't know which one it was, but it was from them. And then I knew that I had to look into this box and heal all of my memories. So as I look into this box, there was no sides. There was no floor and no walls in this box. As I looked down into it, it was eternal. And inside were all these little round orbs of energy. And inside each one of them was a little video screen with a memory inside it. And there were millions of these little energy balls. And I knew I had to pick one out. So I'm looking and I'm deciding, because I had a thought. I could think in this place. which one will I pick out? And the first couple that I picked out was one that I dealt with as a child. I don't actually have a memory of this, but when I picked up this memory of me being like 6 months old, 18 months old, I remembered it. I relived this memory. And it was involving a white cat that belonged to my grandmother. I'm sitting in the front yard. So now I became the memory. I'm in my front, in the front yard of my grandmother's house, sitting on the front yard, and her cat is there, white cat. And I pulled its tail. Instantly, I knew that it was wrong. So obviously I've done this before and I got into trouble for it. I knew it was wrong. And I'm having this little giggle, like an 18-month-old baby does. And then I had to judge myself, because nobody else judges us. We judge ourselves. And I had to judge myself, why did I pull that cat's tail when I knew it was wrong? So I had to go through all those reasons, all those memories of that experience. But then I had to become the cat to see that perspective of the other side. And I'm the white cat slinking along the grass, and I can feel my whiskers. I can sense, and I'm sensing for little bugs in the grass. And then there's this baby sitting there, a humanoid baby, and it pulls my tail. Instant, horrendous pain running up my tail, going straight up my spine. And I let out this of a hiss of a cat. And then I had to judge myself as this cat. Why did I do what I did as a consequence of what the baby did? So this is how we learn perspective. And this is how we also learn how to heal the actions we've done that have affected others.
Yeah, this is like a life review in a way.
This was my life review.
Did you eventually take all of those things out of the box and review all these things in your life, or just a few?
I went through probably 8,000 of those memories.
A whole bunch of them.
And funny thing, because we cry a lot because it's tenfold, like the Bible says, all my emotions were tenfold. If I smiled at a person walking down the street, and when I became that person and I look at this Linda who smiled at me, that gratitude is tenfold. And you're crying uncontrollably because the energy just pours out of you. But as we heal and as we process the things that we've done, all that water just disappears. I have spoken about the water in heaven a few times in my videos as well on my own YouTube channel, because I break things down where I try and talk about specific parts because there was so much of it to talk about. When we do bad things, oh my gosh, we feel it tenfold. So I do talk about some things that I did which weren't very nice.
Hey, quick break here with a special message for our Utah and Idaho listeners. Are you ready for the event of the summer? It's coming. It's the Riddler Road Rally Wasatch Tour, and it's hitting 11 cities this summer. They're giving away, are you ready for this, $110,000. That's $10,000 per city. It's a live citywide scavenger hunt on wheels where teams race in real time to solve clues, navigate GPS track locations, and claim victory. Rally your crew or ride solo. Don't miss out on the most fun you'll have this summer. Check the tour schedule to find out what cities are on the tour and register your team ASAP to get the early bird discount by going to riddlerroadrally.com/events. Hey, no worries if you didn't remember it. It'll be in the show notes. Now, back to the guest.
As a teenager, I punched a girl at school, which I'm not proud of now. So I go through that absolute agonizing feeling. Why did I punch that girl at school? Which, you know, we all have that sort of thing when we're a child. And then I became the other girl to see her perspective. And that's how we learn to forgive. And that's how we learn to heal our emotions. Because our emotions are energy. And it's when we have emotions that go up and down like a currency wave. And then when we heal and when we become peace, that wave becomes that flat line of energy. So we don't have any down, which is what we call negative emotions. We don't have any ups, which is our positive emotions. It's a constant state of peace, is what I understood. As I said, I'd went through about 8,000 of my memories.
Wow, that's a lot.
Oh, I think I was there for about 18 months all up, because it would have taken about half an hour to 45 minutes per memory. Some of the memories, they were pretty bad ones, so they take about, you know, a couple of hours to really psychoanalyze. Why did you do that for? And then I find myself in this white space. So if I look at a piece of paper, a white piece of paper, and you imagine this is white space. There's no floor, there's no walls, there's no ceiling. This is where I found myself. Oh, actually, I'll just show you that picture, just for anyone who can see. There's a picture of me holding one of my memories. A little video screen in the orb, for anyone who does see this. But so now I find myself in this white space. So just to clarify, I floated for 45 minutes in the house, which was verified in Earth time. Then I went to heaven for about 18 months. Then I went to my life review for about 18 months.
So not of Earth time, obviously.
No. I base it on distances. You know, I walk about 3 miles an hour. So when I look at these huge buildings like 100 miles away and I calculate, okay, if I walk 3 miles an hour, because I'm watching the trees go past me and the houses and other things. So from the time that I left until I get to there, that's 100 miles. And if I'm walking 3 miles an hour, that would take me X amount of hours to get there if you do the math, okay? So that's why I estimate about 18 months. But then when I've entered into my life review, which was about another 18 months, I estimate about 45 minutes per memory, and I went through thousands and thousands, probably 6,000 to 12,000 memories. So I just estimate 8,000 because I wasn't counting. But there was a heck of a lot. I was there for an extremely long time. So when I entered into the white space, I estimate that I was here for about another 18 months because of what I was told by my great, 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 great grandmother. She was standing in this space and she was way off the side. And she only appeared as a little, like half an inch big. But as she walked towards me, because there was no floor in this space, she got bigger and she came towards me. And she came up to me and she was quite angry. And she said, "What are you here for?" And she went, "Oh, you're not supposed to be here." And I said to her, "I don't know where I am. So how do I get back to where I was, because I don't know how I got here?" This is the first time in years where someone's showing me any sort of negative emotion. She sort of settles herself down. She's patting down her dress and she says, "Oh, my name is Karina and I am your great-great-great-great-grandmother." And I'm like sitting there, my chin's on the floor, thinking, "What?" And she says, "I've got to tell you who I am first." So she went into great detail for months all about herself. She told me where she lived in the early 1800s. She told me about all her relatives, how to make an axe out of a tree, how to meld metal into an axe head. She showed me devices that they used to make washing machines, how to make clothes when there was no needles. This went on for an extremely long time. How I break this down is if we talk to someone for an hour on the phone and then after that hour we sit there and we think about what was said, these conversations with Karina went for thousands and thousands of hours. But then she started talking about me. She said to me things like, "You must go back to the land where you're from, because you will be rounded up and sent home if you stay. She said, the event that is in your September, where everyone from around the world will be watching and dust will cover all those affected. Everyone will appear grey. Now, I had no idea at that point that she was talking about 9/11 because I died in May 2001. So she was telling me that I had to go back to Australia. She told me to leave before September. September 2001 was 9/11. So she gave me pretty detailed evidence about that event. She told me about earthquakes. She told me about the tsunami in Indonesia that would kill hundreds of thousands of people. She told me about the volcano in Hawaii, where she actually said three moles of land will be created and you will watch it from afar. I watched that volcano on YouTube every day while it was erupting in Hawaii. So she was true there. She said to me, you must remember, your child is important to us, so never forget this date. And I'm thinking, should I have a pen and paper in this place? Because like, there's so much she's giving me. So she told me a date in 2005. And she said, don't ever forget this date because that's the date you conceive your daughter.
Did you have any kids at that point?
I did have one daughter who lives with her first, with my first husband. So she was telling me about a future child 4 years in the future that I was going to have, which, by the way, I did remember the date and we did consummate. And now I do have my daughter who is now nearly 19 years old because she was born in 2006. I've got my daughter. She told me that I would be working for the police for 10 years. She said, when you return to Australia, you will be getting a job with the Great Force of Queensland, which is the police force. She said to me, you must go through this 10 years because of the lessons that you are going to learn whilst there. I was with the Queensland Police Service from 2002 until 2012, 10 years, just like she said. And I did learn a lot of lessons during that time because a lot of criminals only act out because of the situation in their lives. So again, we're learning about perspective and how bad things do happen to good people. So I've got a few friends now that were criminals because I understand their situation at that time where they didn't have anything else other that they could do instead of what they did. So I see the perspective of what people go through. She told me that I would be a first aid trainer for 2 years, which I was, January 15 until January 17. I was a first aid trainer, teaching people about first aid, teaching people how to heal themselves. Because then she said, that's when you will start to heal yourself. So isn't it funny, in 2017, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, which I don't have anymore because I healed it. 2019, I was diagnosed with throat cancer. I had an inch lump here in my throat. I do not have that anymore, even though I've got all the scans, all the x-rays, all the MRIs, to prove I had these injuries. She said to me, you will go through all of this in 20 years when you start telling people about it. You have the integrity and credibility of being able to help others. So she told me about COVID, she told me about the vaccinations, and then she told me all about healing those who go through trauma. I believe that I went through a lot of trauma myself, so then I can help other people go through theirs as well. How do we get out of addictions unless somebody actually has gone through addictions and gotten out of that well or that pit of depression to help others? So that's my journey now. I went out and got my PhD. I've done heaps of qualifications so I can help others to not only become the best version of themselves, but we can also learn to heal ourselves without basing our opinions on what pharmaceutical companies and healthcare professionals tell us. She said, you've got to go back. And I said to her, how do I go back if I don't know where I am? And she said, have you learnt nothing? All you have to do is think about it and you create it. So as I started thinking about my house, the room where I slept, the bathroom where I passed away, instantly I hear this woman say, squeeze my hand if you can hear me, Linda. Squeeze my hand. And I'm confused because I've got my eyes shut, because for 5 years I didn't have to close my eyes or blink. And I've got this blood pressure cup on my arm squeezing and it's hurting. And I think, ow, what's this? So as I open my eyes and there's all these nurses looking at me, oh, she's here, she's awake, she's awake. I find myself in ICU at the Cabarrus County Hospital, which is now called the Atrium in Concord. So you can Google that hospital because that's where I was. It was a very, very interesting few weeks recovering because my psychic abilities were absolutely perfect. I was seeing ghosts. I was knowing things, telling nurses stories about their animals. And she said, how did you know that? Nurses were coming in and I just know their car registration numbers, where I've been in a ICU ward for a few weeks. So how would I know that sort of thing? When I got home, I discovered that I knew what was on TV before turning the TV on. I knew when the phone was going to ring, which I still do now. I pick up my phone like 3 seconds before it rings. I know what songs are on the radio. Trees talk to me. Clothing talks to me. Cars tell me where they've got holes in their muffler, that they need oil, and to fix upholstery on their driver's side back passenger seat. Everything now talks to me. Some days I get a bit inundated, but I've learnt now over the past 20 years how to control that chaos of energy that we do create. So I started a YouTube channel. I've written books. I've got 4 books out there now. I try my best to help others who are struggling. I try my best to educate that sometimes in life, we don't have to believe what we see. We have to trust the unseen and what is within us. Because what is within us is heaven, love. And once we start to trust ourselves instead of what the government and society tells us, the more we become this energized electromagnetic being of energy, where we can manifest our own lives and we do energize and create love and happiness within others around us as well.
Beautiful.
So that's my life mission now, Eric. You know, as I said to you before we started, I do get hundreds of emails every day. I try and get videos onto YouTube at least 2 or 3 days a week. I do tarot cards for people. I do psychic readings for people. I try my best to be the best for others. I'm not egotistical about this. I'm just an average person who's had 3 marriages. I've got issues, health issues, like all of us. I'm you. And I think that's the biggest part, that I'm not a special person. I am you. And if I can get through this, so can you. And if you need help, anyone listening, all you've got to do is reach out and touch me, contact me, and start believing that you can be your best version too.
Beautiful. Thank you for all that. You ready for a deluge of questions now?
Sure.
I'm going to go way back to the beginning. I want to talk more about the flowers for a minute.
Sure. I've actually got a picture I didn't show you, because when I saw the flowers.
Okay, this one better have color.
Yeah. The colors, Eric. I can't explain the colors.
Try.
We don't have the colors here. You know, our color spectrum, we only see about 10% of the colors on the color pie chart. And when I was looking at these colors, I close my eyes and it's like the music. When I close my eyes, I can still feel the music and I can smell the colors. Now, you just heard that right. I could smell the music and I could feel and touch the colour of the flowers. Because our senses, why is touch so limited? Our sight is so limited. So our sight and our touch are combined. I could sense when I was looking at the mountains, it's not just looking at the mountains. I could smell the mountains. I could taste the mountains because it's all one. So these flowers, I close my eyes, I can see the colors. They're gorgeous colors.
Try to explain. You said you had a picture.
Yes. The picture I have, this is the flowers. I'm just putting that in.
So that's the shape. We just need
that's the shape of the petals. But look at the energy coming out of the end of them. Yep. They had like little energy ports coming out of the end of the flowers.
Oh, kind of like the sparklers again.
Like the sparklers again. And, you know, when we look at ourselves as a human being, we have skin, which is our biggest organ in our body. But when we take away our skin and we take away all our internal organs, our skeleton and our blood, and we sit here as an energized being of blue, whoa, now we're going down a rabbit hole. But when we think of us just being like an energized bunny of energy, we become these little tentacles of energy that come out of us like a pheromone, and they do interact with the pheromones of other things around us. So my pen, I'm holding up a pen. So when I think about my pen, my energy is connecting to this pen, even though we call this an inanimate object, okay? But it's not. It's made of natural materials. So those natural materials, like the ink inside my pen, it has an energy field. So that energy comes out like a pheromone and it intermingles with my own. So when we look at my water bottle, the water is an energized being as well. And it emits the same tentacles of energy like I do. So that's why when we interact with people, you know, they say emotions are contagious. If I'm happy and I walk into a room of depressed people, I'm going to become depressed just like them. Or if my energy is strong, I will create that energy to become everything around me as well. And that's why when we laugh, we make other people laugh.
Even when we yawn.
When we yawn, everyone else around us yawns. Yes. Even when we yawn, other people around us receive that information and they become that same energy. So when I go to hospitals, I always feel like I'm sick. If I go to my daughter's university and I'm walking around there with all that energy of all those kids trying to learn stuff, they've got all this energy about their career, where they're going, I come out of university feeling, I've got this, because we do absorb the energy around us.
So how do we also do the opposite? When you go to the hospital, how do you take healing in there and happiness and joy instead of just taking on their sickness? How do we share that part instead?
Brilliant question. That's where confidence comes in. If I know that I'm happy, and I know that my energy can affect others around me. So when I walk into that hospital and I am got that conviction of my energy, which is my emotions. So when I'm sitting there with a sick person in their hospital bed, I could become them or they could become my energy. This is where we have to decide who is ultimately going to win that war of energy fields. Obviously, if I go into a sick room of sick people, I want them to get healthy. So I go in there with that intention of them getting well through my energy. There is a lot of people, and I'll be honest, Eric, there are so many people out there who believe they are sick, so they create themselves to be sick. Now, I'm going to tell you something about me. When I was a baby, I was in hospital for 2 years. The doctors told my mum and dad that I'd need heart, lung, and kidney transplants before I was 10. It's all about our mental capacity of saying no. So how do you think I felt when I got diagnosed with a brain tumour? I came home and I said, no, this isn't going to happen. And every day I kept telling myself, I am healthy, I am fit, and I am strong. The I am affirmation works because I've proven it time and time again with myself. The more we tell ourselves that we are something, the more we create it. What we think, we create. So walking into a hospital, it's all about free will. We all have a decision. People can go in there believing chemotherapy will work. But if someone goes into hospital and they say, I'm not having that because I don't believe, I believe that I can heal myself. Now, this is dangerous because people will say, oh, Linda's dangerous now because she's telling us about self-healing. But if we truly believe in our heart that we can heal ourselves, I'm already proof it can be done.
You didn't talk about seeing any other people except Karina and the three beings that were in the church cathedral kind of place. Did you see other people around? I mean, you saw a big city and things, or had to have been other beings?
When I was in heaven, I saw thousands of people. That first place that I went with the rolling hills, with the city, there was thousands of people, thousands of animals. I saw dinosaurs, bears, dogs, bats, birds, butterflies, you name it, was there. I did say earlier, I saw a medieval lady instantly transform into a hippie. I saw a boy turn into a bear. I saw dinosaurs.
Yeah, in general, what were people doing?
Just walking around being happy. You know, I've got a video where people said, what do we do in heaven all day? And I said, well, I'll tell you what we don't do in heaven. We don't have to pay bills. We don't have to sleep. We don't blink. We don't fart. We don't have to go to the bathroom. We don't have to sleep. So we don't have to cook because we don't have to eat because we are now energy beings. So what we spend our time is doing is to creating energy of that space. And this is what Karina told me about when we reincarnate. We come back here to learn lessons. So we recreate that heaven energy. Look how fast we fall in love with someone, and within 6 months, we're virtually breaking up because we can't stand them anymore. We fall out of love very easy because love is the highest vibrational energy, and therefore it's the hardest one to maintain. So we come to Earth, this is how she explained it, we come here to learn all the horrible things, so we learn to appreciate what is good. So I explain it like this. The first day that someone goes to the beach, they run down to the beach. They're so enthusiastic. The energy is so pumping through them. They're running down through the water. The second day, yeah, they're still running down through the water, but they're thinking, yeah, I only did this yesterday. 2 weeks later, they walk down. They don't even run. They just walk down to the beach and it's like, oh, yeah, again, again, again. And that's where heaven has to keep replenishing this energy to rebuild it. So the more we think about the love and that passion of what love is, the more we create it in heaven. That's how she explained it. You know, to be honest, I always say the hardest our life is, the more trauma we go through, the more we're learning how to love.
She told you a lot of things about the future. Were there some things that she told you that haven't happened yet?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to share some?
Well, one of the worst things that she did tell me, which is now, I believe, is coming true, she said that between 2020, 2025, she said 3 in 8 will perish. I never understood that. Until a few years ago when I heard that our population had just hit 8 billion people. She told me about a war. She didn't say it was nuclear bombs. She didn't say it was AK-47s or bombings. She didn't say how the war would happen, but she did say many, many will perish. She virtually told me it was all in that northern hemisphere. So when we look now at what's happening with Europe, with their immigration problems, when we look at what's happening now with the Middle East, Pakistan and India, when we look at even Canada and America, who are all in the northern hemisphere countries, you could virtually say right now we are in a World War III because of all the conflict that is going on. She told me it was going to be a spiritual war against religion, and I'm seeing it firsthand every day. People want to disprove the beliefs of others, and that goes against everything of heaven, because heaven teaches that we don't judge, we don't assume, and most of all, we don't expect others to be like us. So therefore, we accept and allow others to be who they are without judgment or retaliation. And we're seeing a lot of that now. So maybe this is the war that she was telling me about.
Maybe.
She told me that there is a peace coming and we do go into a better time as our consciousness does awaken. I believe that all of us NDEs, isn't it ironic that there's so many people now having NDEs? Did we sign up for these or NDEs, which I firmly believe we did, because I know that life contracts and life lessons are real. So we're put here to give that hope and to bring in that love, to show others that even though when we can't see heaven and we can't physically say where it is, that these people that have NDEs, we're a collective energy to give people that hope that it is our reality.
It's what it's all about. It's what this podcast is all about, leaving people with a message of hope. And we need to get to that point and sign off here quickly. But one last question. Well, never say one because it's always more than that. I admit, how did this change you? You've told me a lot of things that you've learned, but deep inside, the Linda, how did you really change?
I'll be honest with you, Eric. I've learned that society makes us a little bit selfish. We always look at ourselves, what job do I do? It's all about I. What job do I do? What bills do I get? Where do I go of a weekend? Once we get rid of that I mentality, which is what I learned in heaven, and we truly learn what compassion is, when we do look after others more than that I idea or theory that society gives us, that's the biggest lesson that me personally, because I don't like using I, but I learned that I'm one with everybody. When somebody is homeless, I feel their pain and that fear of what could happen to them because they're unprotected and unsecured. When I see an animal injured, I feel their fear. But then when I see someone living a millionaire's lifestyle where they have got those comforts, I also feel that comfort, which comes with being an empath. And I believe that if everyone on the planet could have that same ability to learn compassion and perspective, this world will be in peace before we know it. So I try to teach that to others.
I'm going to throw one other word out there, and that is empathy.
Empathy.
And it seems like that life review, that box that you were in, and I hear this from people about their life reviews, that they are put in the position not only of themselves reliving it, but the person or thing that they affected.
Yeah.
That's what empathy is all about, is really feeling how we affect other people and understanding what they are feeling.
Yeah. You know, so just yesterday I went to the shops and the lady before me, she didn't have her card with her. She left her wallet at home. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, Linda, just pay for her groceries. But she had a whole trolley and, you know, I'm not the most financial person on the planet. So I just looked up and I thought, I want to be the person who could pay for her groceries, because I feel her embarrassment of having to stand there now waiting for her husband to bring her wallet to the shops. So if we could all learn that side of what other people are feeling, there'd be no competition. And look how society makes us compete. Look at sports. Everything is one against another. You have two teams in football, tennis. You know, there's hardly any competitions where you compete solely, where you're the only winner. Even in golf, we say, oh, yeah, that's a one-person player, but you're also competing with all those other people playing as well. So that society makes us compete. They want us to be better than the next person, which here in Australia we call tall poppy syndrome. We all want what other people have got. But when we look into our heart and our soul and our energy and we realize that we are all the same, ultimately, there's no competition. And if only the world could learn that, there'd be no wars, there'd be no religious wars, there'd be no homelessness compared to millionaires living in $300 million houses, because everyone's the same. That's sort of me sounding like we're having this idealism where everyone has the same salary, but it's not. It's about energy and what we create, and whether we create homelessness or we can create compassion where we do help others when they're in a bad situation. As I said, bad stuff happens to good people. And I firmly believe that we are all born as good people. It's only society that throws those bad situations at us. But ultimately, we even look at, this could trigger people, but we look at people like Genghis Khan, Hitler, even through to mass murderers. They were all born as that clean slate where things in their life and the environment affected them. So I try to help people get through those experiences, to learn the compassion and love so they don't create that negativity in their world or those around them, because our energy does infect other people. That's, I think, is this spiritual war, because me, like so many other psychics at the moment, other empaths, we do feel the hurt, the pain, and the hatred that is now getting created around the planet. So it's time to not do that anymore. We send out love, we send out healing, and most of all, we send out that compassion of love.
All right, I'm going to give you the last say, the last 30 seconds. Give us a message of hope today.
Message of hope is to look within your heart. Ask yourself every day, is this truly who I want to be? Every day I strive to be an angel. I'll never be an angel. I'm not egotistical enough to be an angel, but I strive to live like an angel. So if we could all strive to be a better person, get through our struggles, get through our situations and hurts in this life, stop blaming others for what we create ourselves, and start doing our affirmations, our psychic exercises, raising our vibrations up, this whole planet can do a mass healing, but it all takes one to start it.
By the way, you can be an angel. Dr. Linda Kramer, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric. I love your work. Please, everyone, I say to everyone, spread the word. So if you're listening today, not me, because I'm not the one earning any money off Eric's podcast, share Eric's podcast to everybody. The more we learn how to be loving people, the more we are creating that within ourselves. Thank you so much for having me today, Eric. It's my pleasure, really.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.